And welcome back. You're listening to 3CR, the Green Left radio show this morning, 3CR 855 AM digital and online. And we are now going to be talking with Michaela Panagris, who is an organiser, artist, activist and Socialist Alliance member. And she's speaking to us from Garnoora. Perhaps Michaela can correct me. Land or the colonial name Adelaide. Good morning, Michaela.
Hi, good morning. So, yes, I'm Michaela and I'm on Kaurna Yatta, which is the traditional land of the Kaurna people and currently called Adelaide.
Can you give us an overview of the results of the 2026 South Australian elections and the political situation that framed the election, please?
Yeah, sure. So basically it's been a ALP win, which was predicted and expected. So South Australian Labor was re-elected with Peter Malinauskas re-elected as Premier. So they did well with 37.7% of the vote. They won 32 seats, despite a negative 2.4% swing against them. So the political situation in the state is one that is dominated by the South Australian Labor Party. It's also dominated by that party's pursuit of AUKUS in the state. It facilitates many contracts with international companies, weapons manufacturers like BAE Systems and other companies to work in the state. And it's been working closely with the federal government to ensure that the AUKUS submarines might be, they say they will be, but might, if the correct word, might be built in Osborne, which is a suburb. Osborne is in Port Adelaide, which is a suburb in South Australia. But AUKUS is one big factor within the political situation in the state. The others is a massive housing crisis. There's about 7,000 people who are homeless in the state. So we need thousands more public homes built. The Australian Labor government has not tackled this appropriately, and it has not made any pledge to do so now that it's been elected. The other major thing in the state that's important for us to talk about today is the breakdown of the Liberal Party here. They have been riddled with some scandals. Their support base has fallen apart. Their membership has fallen apart, and some of their members have even defected to One Nation. And then that's the other big story from the election, is the rise of One Nation. So Anthony Green, the political analyst, has described this as a political earthquake. So One Nation actually gained 22.1% of the vote. And it actually means that it beat the Liberal Party and made a challenge to the two-party Liberal-Labor domination of electoral politics. So I hope that gives you a decent overview.
Yeah, so thanks, Michaela. So going into the kind of the next question, can you tell us a bit about, I guess, actually the socialist campaigns that actually happened in the South Australia election, including you're part of the campaign running Anne McMenamin for the seat of Port Adelaide in the South Australian elections. What are some of the issues that Socialist Alliance campaigned on in this election? And also I want to kind of hear your comments on the South Australia socialist results, which I think was also quite a good response as well to socialist ideas.
Yeah, so Socialist Alliance, we ran Anne McMenamin as an independent in the seat of Port Adelaide, and our campaign was really focused on anti-AUKUS. So we had no to AUKUS on all of our campaign material. And we really tried to explain how the money and the infrastructure that the state was going to be spending on AUKUS will be far better spent on basic things for the community, like housing, health, and education. And we also ran a set of anti-capitalist, eco-socialist, and anti-racist policies. We had policies for First Nations justice as well, such as negotiating treaties. We had a plan to build massive amounts of new public housing, free transportation, real climate action, real action on the algal bloom crisis, and ecosystem protection, as well as pro-Palestinian policies such as protecting the right to protest. So that was basically our pitch as Socialist Alliance and Amic Mennonist. And the idea was that we were trying to reach poor Adelaide residents who were concerned about, you know, the health and security risks associated with nuclear power submarines and nuclear waste, which will be, if AUKUS goes ahead, will be a reality in Osborne, which is in Port Adelaide. And I spoke to a number of people on the polling booth who were very concerned because the Osborne base is literally 200 metres away from their house. And there's a real risk of nuclear waste, the health risks, plus the general rejection by a number of people of the militarisation of South Australia. So, you know, the response to our campaign was quite good. You know, we had a modest vote cast. We got 1.6% of the vote, which was, you know, sounds small, but given that we're a very small party, we were competing within a field of 12 candidates. We have limited funds. I think it was a good result. And it showed that there are some really conscious voters out there who really appreciate our socialist policies and our anti-AUKUS statement. Now, as to your other question about the SA socialists or the South Australian socialists, so they actually did quite well too. Now, they ran two candidates as independents, and they ran in two suburbs, two electorates rather, Leila Clendon. They ran in Enfield, and Ahmed Azar, they ran in Croydon. I'll just talk about the Croydon seat. So this is actually Malinowskis' seat. So Ahmed Azar from the SA Socialist actually pitched his campaign around a protest against Malinowskis. Azar is a pro-Palestinian activist, and he spent quite a bit of time during his campaign highlighting Malinowskis's anti-Palestinian actions, such as Malinowskis's push to cancel Randa Abdel Fattah from speaking at Adelaide Writers Festival. And that campaign was quite successful by SA Socialists because they were able to reach a layer of people within Croydon who were fed up with Malinowskis. So they received about 6.5% of the vote in Croydon. And in Enfield, where their other candidate ran, they polled at about 5.6%. And the other issues that SA Socialists were running on were focused around housing and rising cost of living.
Oh, okay. So I'd like to know what your impression is of the rise in support for One Nation. It seems to me like a really dangerous rise in the support for the far right. And what can we do as socialists to counter the far right and their anti-democratic and racist ideologies?
Yes, so it is very concerning. And when we were on the polling booth, when I and other Socialist Alliance members were handing out the How to Vote for Our campaign, something that really struck us all was how many working class people are coming into the booth, walking towards the One Nation candidate, shaking his hand, giving him a pat on the back.
Oh, these God. Kinds of things.
Yes, exactly. So there's real support that One Nation has built here within working class communities. Now, I think there's a number of reasons for this. I don't think that every person who voted for One Nation is necessarily a full-on racist.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people expressed to me on the polling booth that they are fed up with the major parties. A lot of people in the lower socioeconomic areas within South Australia really have not had any benefits or improvements in their living standards for the past 40 years due to neoliberal policies. And they're really wanting a change. They want things to get better. And unfortunately, One Nation and Pauline Hanson are tapping into this. They're pitching themselves as an alternative to the major parties. However, as we all know, Pauline Hanson has never voted for a pro-worker policy in her life. The One Nation's policies won't help working people. In fact, it will make their lives worse. So it is a dangerous rise in support for One Nation, and we need to be really vigilant about it. But I think, we can't be all moralistic about it either, and we can't just say, oh my God, all these racists are running around. I think we have to tackle the issues head on, which is that working class voters are disenfranchised. And the question for us as socialists is, how do we actually reach those people?
Mm.
How do we encourage those people not to buy into the racist scapegoating and the anti-immigration sentiment that One Nation is pushing? And how do we reach working class people and get them to understand what the real solutions are and get them to understand, the real enemy is, the capitalist state, it's neoliberalism, it's war. So these are the things, it's a big task for us as socialists. And one of the strategies I think we can do is really work hard to build working class struggle. So something that was noticeable when I was on the polling booth is that a lot of workers who are voting for One Nation were not unionised workers. So, we need to be able to strengthen our work within unions, encouraging workers to be part of workplace struggles. Things like that will actually empower workers and, make sure that they don't just go towards the One Nation easy fixes. So that's one thing we can do. Another thing is, really doing more work within working class communities in cities and in regional areas and really getting our information out there. So One Nation had a lot of social media outreach, they did actually quite a bit of outreach in regional areas as well. So we've got to think of more ways we can get our politics out to people, which we're doing with, things like this radio program today. So I hope that sort of covers that question.
All right. Well, just wanted to kind of finish up with any kind of final comments you'd like to make, Michaela.
Yes. So I mentioned earlier that we ran Anne McMenamin as an independent on a ballot paper. And the reason for that is because there's a lot of quite anti-democratic rules and regulations which mean that for smaller parties in Australia, it's hard to get registered as a party to enter interstate elections. So the Socialist Alliance has federal registration, but we don't yet have registration in the South Australian state itself. So we're seeking that registration. So I just wanted to call out to any South Australian listeners that we are still seeking registration in South Australia. And if you'd like to help us with registration, you can go onto the Socialist Alliance webpage and click on the Help South Australia Register, Help Socialist Alliance Register in South Australia page, and then you can click on some links to help us.
And we need supporters in Victoria as well to join our registration campaign for Socialist Alliance.
Yeah, so yeah. You can look up our registration efforts on the Socialist Alliance website at socialistalliance.org.
Thanks, Michaela. That was really interesting and enlightening. A bit frightening about One Nation, but we have to look at reality really hard and work out how to deal with trends like this. So thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks, Mary, and thanks, Jacob, and thanks to the Green Left Radio team.